and welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage and travel to different spots throughout our community to listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans. This week, we're at the Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center for the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce Make It Monday Forum. Recorded on Monday, February 28th, Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan and Superintendent of Schools Carol Como review the bond propositions appearing on the municipal election ballot on April 5th. That's coming up next on Addressing Alaskans, after the news.
Welcome to the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's Make It Monday Forum. I'm Bill Evans, I'm the chair of the Anchorage Chamber's Board of Directors. At the far end of our table today is Bill Popp, the Executive Director with the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Bill is here today to tell us more about Anchorage First, a program that encourages local spending to help boost the city's economy. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Popp.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'll be brief, but I'm here today with the exciting news that tomorrow we launch for the second year in a row the Anchorage First campaign. So what's Anchorage First? Well, Anchorage First is a citywide campaign to encourage consumers to spend locally as opposed to spending their dollars out of state or outside of our region in the months of March, April, and May. And it's not just for retail. It also includes entertainment and service providers. What's the benefit? Well, if every household in Anchorage just spent $25 more a month in our state and in our community over the 3 months, it would inject $10 million into our local economy. If you want to make jobs happen, this is one way to do it. This is putting money into our retailers, our service providers, our entertainers, our restaurants to help keep people employed, to keep the doors open, and to keep business growing here in Anchorage. So how do you get involved? Well, you join the campaign by going to goanchoragefirst.com, display the Anchorage First logo in your business, tell other businesses about the campaign, and make sure that you are encouraging them to join you in supporting this campaign. You can think about the kind of a promotion that you would want to offer in this campaign, and you can advertise with supporting media outlets that are providing discounted programs for companies that are offering the Anchorage First promotions and supporting the campaign. And then you can also, as individuals and as families, get out and spend locally. That's a big part of this campaign to make it successful. This is the simple one-page form that you use to join the campaign as a supporting business. It's pretty simple, it's pretty easy, and it's free. This is a grassroots campaign. We started it last year. It is a partnership, and I'll describe that partnership in just a moment, of many business-oriented organizations in our community, as well as several marketing and PR firms that helped to join together to help craft the campaign. So what do you get if you jump on board as a business with the Anchorage First campaign? Well, you get listings on the website. You get promotions highlighted on the website. You get access to free promotional materials. You get advertising discounts with participating media, and that includes television, radio, and we even have 3 different weeks in which Groupon will be supporting this program. And this program is actively promoted by the partner organizations that have brought it together and are supporting it, and that includes AEDC, the Anchorage Chamber, the Chugiak Eagle River Chamber of Commerce, the Anchorage Downtown Partnership, and the Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau. This is all, again, pro bono. We do this to support this, to help support our local merchants and our local economy, and the companies that are providing the advertising placement are also providing that pro bono. So we're very appreciative of all the free work that is being contributed to this generously to support our local business community. This is an example, and it's kind of small print up on the screen, but it's an example of the basic listing that you'll get as a business, as well as listing your promotions. This will also, you'll also see the Facebook page in which you'll be able to see different updates, different news that's breaking on Anchorage First. This is an active campaign that'll go on for the full 3 months. And again, following on Facebook, You'll see additional, you can friend the campaign through Facebook and stay up to abreast of what's going on with how things are going forward on this. So again, what are you waiting for? Get out and take care of business and sign up today. GoAnchorageFirst.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. I got to get more friends on Facebook. That'll be good. Now on to our main presentation. Mayor Sullivan tells me he doesn't need much of an introduction. That's probably true. We all know him. But he has spent 9 years on the Anchorage Assembly, including a term as chair, and he's been mayor of our city since 2009. Most impressive to me is he's the co-owner of an Irish pub. McGinley's right across the street. And I recently learned that he has lost 10% of his body weight in a recent competition. Very impressive. So, ladies and gentlemen, here to talk about the municipal bonds, Mayor Dan Sullivan.
You really got to be careful what you tell people in casual conversation, don't you? Well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk about our bond proposals, and there's some propositions on the ballot as well. First, I wanted to start off by saying, as I always do, it's a great day to be in Anchorage, Alaska, because we're one of the few cities in America that understands you don't have to spend everything in your budget. It's actually a good thing to come in under budget. And we're actually very proud of our various departments. You've probably heard some recent news announcements that the city has a surplus. And really what it means is that for 2010, our various departments were very frugal in the management of their departments. They delivered their services more efficiently. We've been implementing efficiency measures and reorganizations over 2010, and they're starting to pay off. And we're very, very proud of that. And it's a good situation to be in. When we get into our first quarter budget review, we will then determine, okay, what do you do with money that you didn't spend in the last year's budget? Do you apply it to this year's budget? Do you maybe pay down debt? In the police department, for example, they did a great job managing their overtime. Maybe we use that money for funding the police academy, which is a one-time expense and probably an appropriate expenditure. So, again, very proud of our departments, and they did a great job managing your money, which is one thing that we always try and remind them, that you are spending other people's money and do so wisely. We've got a total bond package this year of about $36.2 million in general government obligation bonds. This comes to about $14.76 for $100,000 of assessed value. And then, of course, Carol will speak more to the school district bonds in just a moment here. Theirs are about $71 million. The bottom line for all the bond proposals combined, it's going to be about a $100 increase in property taxes for the average $300,000 home. So for a $100 investment, you're making a commitment in the improvement of both your streets, your parks, and your schools. Usually the meat and potatoes of our, in fact, we were actually going to show meat and potatoes here because really our bonds this year are very, very basic. We're focused on maintaining the assets that we already own. There's very little in terms of new construction involved. But the roads alone are always the big item on our bonds. And this is about a $31 million bond package. It funds 21 road projects throughout Anchorage. And it's the lowest road bond in about 8 years. So one of the reasons is that we're cognizant of the fact that we feel Anchorage is carrying a pretty significant debt load right now. And we want to make sure that we start trending to where we feel that debt load is more manageable and at a more reasonable level. So as you can see by the stats, we also have some operations and maintenance involved in here. And again, it breaks down just on the road bonds alone to about $12.11 per $100,000 of assessed value. The projects consist mainly of, again, real basic things, congestion relief, safety items, whether it's speed control measures, and improved road conditions. And there's any number of roads around town that look very similar to the ones you're seeing there that just have reached towards the end of their useful life. And you want to make repairs before they really get into a situation where you're having to completely redo a road. So our road department, our project management engineers, they go out every year. They travel the roads. They look at the community council requests and look at their priorities. And then we make our own priority list on what the experts determine are the ones in the worst condition and most needing of money. The project map, as you can see, one of the great things about this map is it really shows that there's projects all over town. Doesn't matter what assembly district you might live in or what part of town, there are needs. We try and, again, prioritize them. And so virtually every part of the city, when you consider voting for the road bonds, there will be something in your neighborhood that's getting improved. Next bond is Proposition 5, which is Anchorage Parks. It's a $3 million bond, which, again, is a very small bond. We've had challenges over the years with park bonds, but again, it's been a few years since we've passed a park bond, and I think it's very timely that you consider these proposals. There's park and trail upgrades around the city. The Anchorage Football Stadium, which you may have read about, the concession stand there is actually in such disrepair that it was considered structurally unsafe. And then the South Anchorage Sports Complex, the main cost there is bringing water into that site. South Anchorage Sports Complex got a little bit of news because the newspaper decided to do an article on that particular project, but it really is just one of many projects. But this one in particular, we're wanting to make a commitment to because the volunteers that have put in the American Legion and Little League ball fields there have put so much volunteer time and effort and money into improving a municipal facility that's really our responsibility to try and do our part and not just totally rely on the private sector to do it because, again, they have limited resources and capacity, but they've already done an amazing job over there. So, and again, the main cost will be bringing water into that site, the extension of a water line. So as you can see, this bond adds about $2 per $100,000 of assessed improvement. And just you can see that kids and facilities all will enjoy an improved park system. The Prop 6 is Public Safety and Transportation Bond. This includes two things, $520,000 for a new ambulance, which I know sounds like a lot of money, but these ambulances have an awful lot of equipment on them that if you ever have to ride in one, you'll be glad for every piece of equipment in that ambulance. So they're expensive, but they're worth it, and they last a long time. These are heavy-duty machines. And then there's $421,000 for public transportation, which is for, of course, people mover anchor rides, vanpool. And the good thing about the public transportation bond, there is a 4-to-1 match from the federal government. There's about $1.7 million in federal transportation funds that match our bond. So this one is a really good leveraged bond, and you get a lot of bang for your buck on approving these. And again, you can see the numbers in terms of what that means for taxes. Not a whole lot, about 27 cents. Prop 7 is the new ladder truck. We have a ladder truck that actually burned up, and so we have to replace it. Ladder trucks are important in a city where you have any building higher than a couple stories because you have to get up to those upper stories. Ladder trucks are how you do it. They're not cheap. In fact, over $1 million for a fully equipped ladder truck. But again, in terms of public safety, when you are in the upper floor of a building and it's burning, you'll be glad that there's a ladder truck. So this is a good, worthy expense. Prop 8 is a very, very minor police bond. We have just simply a $250,000 bond here, and this is for improvement into the dispatch center. Obviously, dispatch is a key element, and they have an awful lot of computer equipment in there, and they're having trouble with keeping the equipment at the proper cooling temperature, and so this will improve the cooling system within the dispatch center. So this one has no O&M associated with it, and again, for $100,000, it's about 6 cents. Talked a little bit about the total debt. MOA's outstanding debt right now as of the end of 2010 is about $1.1 billion. We will be paying down about $83.7 million in principal pay downs in 2011. And we do have some bonds, as you can see from this thing, that have been voter approved but not issued yet. And then combined with the propositions on the ballot this year, we'll have about $107 million in approved but unissued bonds if they're approved. And finally, we talked about the impact on taxpayers. Annual tax increases of about $11.50 per $100,000, about $3 per $100,000 for operations and maintenance. And this year, we are scheduled to pay off about $26 million of general obligation bonds. So, the final section of my portion before I turn it over to Carol deals with Propositions 9, 10, and 11, which the Anchorage Assembly agreed to put on the ballot for your consideration. Proposition 9 is a property tax exemption for the spouses of disabled or deceased veterans. So disabled veterans right now get a property tax exemption the same as seniors, $150,000. And this will extend that exemption to the spouses if that disabled veteran passes away. It probably affects, I think they said, 6 or 8 people in the whole city of Anchorage, but we felt it was the fair thing to do, given that oftentimes the disabled veteran is not able to have the potential income that they might have had before their disability. So this is, again, one for your consideration. Proposition 10 has been, this one is always a little controversial when it's discussed, but it changes downtown parking enforcement back from being done by sworn police officers into the ability of a city agency to handle downtown parking enforcement. And they will only be doing anything that's a parking violation. In other words, you could be at a meter that's expired or in a handicapped spot illegally, but none of the other violations will be handled by whichever agency, and it'll probably be the Community Development Authority. And obviously there's pros and cons on this. I know some people hearken back to the mid-90s when the parking authority was so efficient that they were ticketing people in cars parking lot, me. And probably all of you had similar stories, but this will be confined strictly to the downtown area between L Street and Gamble, between 9th Avenue and 3rd Avenue, and it'll be strictly for parking. The goal is to keep parking turning over, because businesses downtown, if somebody hogs a spot for hours while they're not particularly shopping, but maybe they're an employee or just doing other business not related to downtown, it really it causes a problem in having good turnover and having merchants see the ability to have a good variety of customers coming and going every hour or two. So the final one, Proposition 11, is an advisory vote. And this one essentially asks the public, what do you think about implementing 100% mandatory ID requirement to purchase alcohol? It won't go into law if you pass this. It just really sends the assembly a message that you'd like to see every liquor store, every place that serves alcohol, by law, ask every single customer, your 80-year-old aunt, your, no matter who, they would be carded. So it's, again, it's got pros and cons. There's, I've heard, from the industry that most of them voluntarily do ID checks on anybody that they think even is close to the 30 years age or over. And so, again, up to you to decide if you want to send that message to the assembly or not. So, all in all, I just urge you to carefully review the bonds and propositions, and but most importantly, I remember to vote on April 5th. In addition to the bonds, there's both assembly and school board seats up, and the April elections, the turnout has not been stellar over the years, and it'd be nice if this April we could get that trend going the other direction. Thank you.
This is KSKA Anchorage, and you're listening to Addressing Alaskans with Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan and Anchorage School District Superintendent Carol Como. Recorded at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce on Monday, they presented the bond propositions facing voters in the municipal election coming up on Tuesday, April 5th.
Carol Como has lived in Anchorage for more than 40 years. She began her service in the Anchorage School District in 1974 as a noon duty attendant and teacher aide at Ocean View Elementary School. Moving into teaching the following year, Ms. Como spent the next 11 years teaching at Ocean View and Spring Hill Elementary, and also serving as president of the teachers union for 1 year. Following a one-year internship, Ms. Como was a district principal until 1990, when she became the district's executive director of elementary school education. The school board appointed her as the Anchorage School District superintendent in December 2000. Carol has been married for 46 years to Dennis, and they have 3 children and 5 grandchildren who live in Washington and Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Carol Como.
Thank you. I have to correct that. It's 48 years. My husband would not be happy if I didn't get all the years in. I want to thank you very much for this opportunity for the chamber to give you the information about our school bonds. And before I start, I'd like to introduce our school board members who are here. President John Steiner, school board members Don Smith, Pat Higgins, Jeannie Mackey, and Kathleen Plunkett. And then over there in the corner trying to hide is former school board member Macon Roberts. So thank you for coming. I just want to, I have one slide that kind of gives you the context of the district. I think most of you are aware, but we are a large school district. We're the 94th largest school district in the country. And as you know, we're becoming an increasingly diverse community. Students speak 94 different languages in our district, and we have, we're 47% Caucasian, and so 53% of our students are from different racial and cultural groups. Our test scores are above average, and our parental support is strong in from our surveys that we have gotten. Our school bonds begin a very, it's a very long process. We have a committee called the Capital Request Advisory Committee, and we believe very strongly in the role of bringing the public in to help us, actually starting tonight with our 10-year capital improvement plan that's reviewed and updated every year that goes to the board tonight. But before that, this public process, really this committee represents people from all over the community that they review our facility needs, they go out and they visit schools, they talk to personnel in our facilities and maintenance staff, and they bring us invaluable input to this committee process. Once they have discussed, then they react to different scenarios that we propose, and then they identify what they view are the most critical needs for us to consider in a school bond proposition or voting in December is when it comes to the school board for their consideration. Then after the school board accepts and votes to put things on the ballot, it goes over to the assembly for their review, another public hearing, and then the assembly makes the final decision on what goes on the ballot. So what is before you today went through that very public process. What we're asking for are three propositions. The first one is $37.1 million, Proposition 2, $16.9, and Proposition 3, $17 million, for a total $71 million. I think it's an important for everyone to remember that since the last successful bond election in 2008, we have paid off $148 million, and that's more than double than what we're asking the voters for in this election. Proposition 1 is the large one on Service High School. You've probably read and seen things about it. It completes the renovation and addition at that high school. We went through a very public process back in 2000 and developed a master plan that has since been revised and downsized. We believe that by completing the renovation of this high school that was built, as you know, probably a junior-senior high school, and so it's really the equivalent facility of three elementary schools, we believe it will reduce the ongoing operation and maintenance cost and extending the life of the building. It's I think the math really shows that this is a good investment in completely renovating Service High School. The total project cost is $68.4 million. Last year, the legislature approved a $21.3 million state grant that requires $9 million local match. Then we have $10 million in authorized but unsold bonds that we are asking to redirect towards this project. So that gets us down to $37.1 million for the new funding. And then we have received approval from the state for 60% debt reimbursement on that. And so we bring it down to $20.3 million of new costs. We believe that this is a good investment in renovating this school and the parts about it that will be done. There's more detail here. We, as I said, it was built in 1971 as a junior-senior high school. I know when my kids graduated in the mid-80s, many parts of that building look exactly like it did when they went to school. We are going to renovate the rest of the classrooms, the special education life skills area, the library and media center, the cafeteria and food service area, a 700-seat auditorium, the administration area. And the we believe by doing all of that, that is going to save us, like I said, in operations and maintenance costs. On this, the auditorium is the one that seems to have generated some controversy. There are no full-size auditoriums south of Northern Lights Boulevard in this entire municipality. And the South Anchorage schools, if many of you are probably parents, know they have outstanding fine arts, drama programs. They need an auditorium in South Anchorage, we believe. And it's also a classroom space that will have other spaces within that auditorium area that will be used for instruction. The Proposition 2 is $16.9 million, district-wide building life extension and design projects. There are 19 schools, one student nutrition facility, and some upgrades to some of our relocatable classrooms. We're looking at things like roof replacements, safety communication upgrades, heating and lighting systems, designs at four elementary schools, and the CTVE design, career technical education, I shouldn't use acronyms, at West Romig. It would be a separate structure at West Romig because some of you are familiar that there has been an extensive master planning effort going on for a large renovation to West Romig. This is a separate facility. One of the highest priorities for that community is increasing opportunities for students and the community to have career and technical education opportunities. This one is $16.9 million in the principal. $7.9 million is 70% debt reimbursable and eligibility. We've received approval for that. And another $3.1 million of those costs are 60% debt reimbursement. So the total new costs of that after the debt reimbursement is $5.9 million. The third one, $17 million are for career and technical and vocational education upgrades at middle schools and high schools. This is a very high priority for our school board as well as our students and staff and the community. We expect that if this bond passes, that we will be able to do some renovations at these schools to really expand the career and technical opportunities and the programs, such as construction, fabrication, technology and science labs, modifying classrooms and expanding construction academies. So there are minor renovations in these facilities and at the King Career Center. As you can see from the map, and there is a brochure on your tables on the back, shows the different locations of the facilities. So they are going to benefit schools all over the municipality. Finally, everybody always asks, how can you be sure the legislature is going to authorize the debt reimbursement? We believe that this letter we got recently from this year's legislature, as well as their track record, which will be shown on the next slide, shows that since 1992, they have appropriated 100% of the appropriations that we're eligible for. And I think that's a really important message. And I see former Representative Harris back there, who is one of our strongest supporters in this. But that debt reimbursement is a huge benefit to the taxpayers of Anchorage. And so we believe that our propositions, if they're approved by the voters, there will be an increase to the taxpayers, but it will be much less than if we had to pay 100% of the costs. So I really want to review this part because this is obviously important for everyone to know. In the last 5 years, we've paid off bond principal debt of $232 million. The next 5 years, we expect to pay off between $52 and $58 million. So even though the mayor said we were talking about $18 per $100,000, that is correct if we did not have the debt reimbursement. Our total cost per $100,000 is $8.01 a year to retire the bond debt for these three propositions. And again, obviously, we have to ask the voters for the full authorization, and we will be hoping and working with the legislature that that appropriation continues, but we believe that $8.01 per year per $100,000 is a really good investment for what these projects will bring to our students. We have lots of information up on our website, and please feel free to send us any questions, or you can call my office, and we'll be happy to get you the information you need, but I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Well, we do have some questions. And let's see. First one is for Mayor Sullivan. Can you tell us what, this is an interesting one, what potential bond proposals were pretty close to getting on the ballot but didn't quite make it?
I can talk loud. The well, as far as bond proposals, you know, there's always a cutoff list for various road projects. It'd be hard to say just off the top of my head maybe which road or park projects didn't quite make the list this year. But typically what happens is if they are a priority for a community, they work their way up the list sooner or later. And if this bond proposition is successful, then next year those that were close to making the cut will move forward. There was also one proposition that didn't make the ballot, and that was the Taxpayer Protection Act, which would have restored how the tax cap is figured as was intended by the founders, which is you start the tax cap the following year with the amount of money you actually collected the previous year, not the amount of money you could have collected. So that one didn't make the ballot, but maybe a year ahead or two, the voters will have another shot at that one.
Okay.
If you want to come up here, too, if you're loud enough to be heard, because this one's for Carol, and it's a multi-part question. First part of it is how much do we receive from the federal government for the schools, and what do we pay in order to meet the federal requirements by accepting those federal funds?
Well, it depends on what we're using it for. There are mandated services through court decisions and federal law for students with disabilities, which is the largest figure that we use, and we are mandated to provide services for students with disabilities. And if the funding isn't adequate, then we make it up with our local and state revenue. The legislature, the last 3 years, gave us an extensive increase in our intensive needs funding, and Representative Harris, you and your colleagues just made a huge difference, because by calculating intensive needs, which are our most challenging students who are medically fragile, in many cases have very expensive services, we were having to really take the money from the general fund students. And anyway, so now the state funding is helping us meet those needs, but I would have to have a specific example and then have to walk you through it, and I'm not prepared to do that today.
Okay. The next part of that same question, Carol, is, and you sort of touched on it, but what percentage of the budget, the school district's budget, is funding for special needs students, and then what percentage of the school student body is considered special needs?
About 17% of our student population is special education students. We're a medical hub in Anchorage, just like Fairbanks and Sitka, Juneau, and Mat-Su, and so we draw many students into Anchorage because they're families or their foster children that need this kind of services. So that makes our numbers. We have over 900 intensive needs students because of what I just described. The military also sees Anchorage as an overseas assignment with an excellent special education program, and so many of them request either staying in Anchorage or extending their assignment in Anchorage because of the services their children have received. Special education students.
Okay. The next question can be answered probably by either the mayor or the superintendent. What are your thoughts on non-homeowner participation in the costs of the bonds? And there's a bit of an editorial comment. It's almost like the homeowners are punished, and then, you know, for the kids, for their future, the homeowner keeps paying and paying. So, non-homeowner participation, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'll take a first stab at it. Everybody in Anchorage lives somewhere. You either rent or you own, and if you rent and your landlord is breaking even or making a profit, you pay his property tax, so as a renter. Now, if the landlord isn't making money, you could make a case that the renter maybe isn't paying the full share of the load, but the way the rental market is now in town, it's my understanding there's only like a 2% vacancy. I think landlords are holding their own, but I think it's an urban myth that renters don't pay property tax. I think it's obviously included in the cost of your rent, and that, again, that can vary based on the economy. Sometimes landlords are having tough times, and bottom line is, I think the ultimate solution to that question, though, is a more diversified revenue stream for Anchorage and a blend of different sorts of revenues, whether it's sales tax and property tax or some other combination, probably makes more sense than just having that one principal source.
I can't add to that.
Okay. Here's a question specifically for the mayor. Who decides how much money is issued for bonds, specifically Arlene Drive?
Our project management and engineering department is comprised of professional engineers, and they also contract with the local contractors as well. for professional design advice. And they look at a project and just do that analysis. So what's the condition of the road based on recent contracting and construction costs? What is the cost of improvement? And they come up with a guesstimate of what it's going to take to fix that project. And generally, I mean, since they do this every year and keep a pretty good pulse on what material costs are, generally they're fairly accurate.
Okay. And this is for Carol. How do graduation rates and test scores compare between an old and new schools? Is it build it and they will learn?
Well, I think it's subjective. I think if you will talk to the students and staff who were at the old Clark Middle School or the old Chester Valley Elementary School or Sand Lake, I think you would find that it's a wonderful teaching and learning environment. There is no question that students learn in older facilities, but I do believe that investing in our facilities enhances learning. I do not have any data that would prove my point. I think it's a subjective feeling, and when you walk in a newer school or a remodeled school, I think you have a really good, strong feeling about that.
And our last question so far is also for you, Carol. Is it true that voters can approve bond debt for a specific project and later the school district can move that money to another project without voter approval?
What the bond council, and we work very closely with the municipal bond council in the wording on the ballot, and if it's a statement, for instance, in building renewals, and we list the most immediate need for roofs, for instance, or HVAC systems, and we've identified our highest priority projects, and if the projects come in under the amount that we thought, then we can, in fact, use the same bond funds for more roofs, for instance, or more HVAC systems. But if the intent of the voter language is different, then we cannot use them. That's why we're asking to redirect the $10 million towards the service project from previously authorized but unsold bonds. A few years ago, some of you may remember, we did that to build Northern Lights, ABC, and Fairview Elementary School. We had funds not used, and we asked the voters, we went back to the voters and asked if we could redirect, and it allowed us then to build those two schools. So that's what we do if the intent on the ballot does not allow it.
Great. That is the last question we have. So please join me in another round of applause for our presenters, Mayor Dan Sullivan and Superintendent Carol Coleman.
This is KSKA Anchorage, and you've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan and Anchorage School District Superintendent Carol Como. Recorded at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, they presented the 11 bond propositions facing voters in the municipal election coming up on Tuesday, April 5th. This Make It Monday forum was hosted by the Anchorage Chamber and recorded at the Denina Civic and Convention Center on Monday, February 28th, 2011. You can download today's program or subscribe to free podcasts of Addressing Alaskans on our website at kska.org. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to kska.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. This has been a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Spack. Thanks for listening.